I'm only 5 feet, brother. That's the first joke. And I'm going to have a, let's have a closing prayer. Oh, and that's another joke. Let me preach here.
That's another joke.
Oh, when was the last time I preached? I think that was November, yeah?
November.
Oh, let me turn on my...
Aloha.
Aloha.
Yes. So from this island, so we start the word Aloha.
Aloha.
So again, when was the last time? I think it was November, yeah? And that time, I picked a certain prophet in the Old Testament, was Jeremiah. And you know the story of Jeremiah. He was the one who helped children of Israel from... He was one of the remnants when Israel was under the king of that Babylon captive for 7 years. But anyways, specifically I think you were laughing at me. Yeah, Jeremiah, I did that scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, and I know for a fact that most of you here memorize that verse, right? And you can as recited along with me, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And plans to give you hope and future. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Was it? Yeah? The future is now. We don't know what's going on in this future right now, but my topic today is about the future is in God is in control. It's God's way to be able to do it, survive in this world. And I will survive that song. I will survive. We will survive when we have God, right?
Yeah.
It must be God's way. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, today I'm going to share to you one other person in the New Testament that I want to, you know, preach. And his name is Paul, but before that, why don't we just bow down our heads? Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we commit ourselves unto you this morning, Father. We welcome you, Lord. I know you're here with us right now. May the words that comes out of my mouth, may give blessing to those who hear it. Father God, I ask your spirit for wisdom to deliver, Lord, this message right now, to help edify each one. Lord, please soften our hearts, open our minds, that we understand the knowledge and the truth that may transform our hearts right now, Father, whatever comes in our mouth. Heavenly Father, we need a change, and that change, Lord, is your way, not the world's way, it's God's way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
So again, I want to talk about more about Paul this time, the Apostle Paul. And you know who Paul is. Most of us know who Paul is. He persecuted the Christians, right? In the old times, he had this authority to bind them and get them killed and, you know, murdered. Even Stephen was there. He was there when Stephen was stoned to death. And this story of this is kind of like also, I want to, you know, relate it to us because I'm going to read how his conversion was, you know, happened during that time when God chose him to, you know, preach to the Gentiles and the non-believers. Please, can you put it, it's on Acts 9:3-20. If you want to read along with me, so it's... You have the Bible, it's there in the PowerPoint anyway. So it starts at verse 3. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats. So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the man who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. So he was completely blind. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." This is the persecutor, eh? "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.' And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you in the road as you came, he sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately there from his eyes, fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized by Ananias. So when he had received the food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples in Damascus. Immediately he preached to Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God." Oh, chosen one, yeah? Okay, this guy is really knows the laws, the commandments. He's really very smart. 10 commandments probably embraced over and over again. But anyways, Apostle Paul really is an example in the New Testament. Because the New Testament, after this conversion, he was able to write 13 books of the Bible. Let me give you a little bit of the New Testament 101. New Testament is 27 books, right? He wrote, when he started developing the church, he wrote, he ministered to the 7 churches, starting in Rome, Corinth, in Galatia, and Ephesus, in Philippi, and then Colossae and Thessalonica. So he wrote the 7 books, and you know already what their names are, Romans, you know, Corinthians, something. And also, within his missionary time, was able to also gather 4 people with him, Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, and Mark. That's under him, his missionary. And the rest of the book of the Testament is written by the 3 remaining disciples of Jesus Christ, Peter, John, and James. Amen? So these are the New Testament. We are a New Testament church, and we owe a lot because, again, it's not about Paul, it's about Jesus here. Paul was writing everything about how he was, you know, embraced by God to be the chosen one to preach the gospel to the non-believers. Amen?
Amen.
So my topic today is, as you see the notes, it's God's way to positive change. Much as the same as Paul was converted to being, you know, a full-fledged fool. Without Paul, there's no... maybe part of the New Testament, but of course, the Bible is the Bible. New Testament is connected with the Old Testament story. Because in the Old Testament, that's when Moses, that's when the Israelites was, you know, free from the bondage in Egypt and all so on. So you know that. For most of us here, if you read the Bible, you know the story. And if you are not a seeker, so it's about time to slowly dig on what the Word is all about. So let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is Paul saying.
Can I have
course. Program?
Please.
Okay. You want to follow me, please. So I'll... The first verse that we consider, 2 Corinthians, Paul says here, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. He himself experienced this, Paul, when he was called by God to preach. That's it. He's a new guy all the way until he died, was preaching the Bible, Jesus Christ as the one Messiah, the one who can save. Nobody else, nothing, yeah? Only him. If you want to go to heaven and you want to go to Father God, where do you go first? He's the way, the truth, and the life. The one comes to the Father through Jesus. Amen? The second thing here he said here, this is how humble he is. Even how fired for him, his life is really all about Jesus. This is Philippians 3:12-14. Let me read it to you. It says here, I don't mean that I am exactly what God wants me to be. I have not reached that goal, but I continue to reach it and make it mine. That's what Christ Jesus wants me to do. It is the reason he made me his. Brothers and sisters, I know I still have a long way to go, but there's one thing I do. I forget what is in the past and try as hard as I can to reach the goal before me. I keep running hard toward the finish line to get the prize that is mine, because God called me through Christ to life up there in heaven. See, the past, when he was persecuting, he just gonna let it go. That's done. I'm a new person. I'm a new creation. And this is what we call nowadays a born-again Christian, right? A born-again Christian is a supernatural, relationship that we need to get connected with God again. Because all the way back from Adam and Eve, the relationship is broken. So God sent Jesus' Son as the only one, the only way to go and mend this broken relationship. Amen?
Amen.
So let's go ahead. The first bullet that I have here, first the nugget is, in order to really go God's way, to the positive change, is number one, we have to recognize that your spiritual life is a journey. It's not automatic. It's a process, right?
Yes.
It's not an overnight thing. It's a work in progress right now. When you start really meditating in the Word, it's in the Bible. You meditate every day. Joshua says that. You have to meditate day and night. And it's going to be a second nature if you do that. And the Lord will decrease in us and will decrease our earthly cravings, everything about this world what we're in right now. And we are changing from glory to glory. Let me read to you about Philippians 1:6. This is really important that also Paul wrote this, that he said here that I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished in the day when Christ Jesus returns. Amazing, yeah? So we as believers right now, and if you are not pleased, I encourage you to really, go to Christ, receive him as your Savior. And Pastor Min will pray for you about that if you are not really completed yet. And I want to sing this song. So I like this Philippians 1:6. Instead of singing it myself, my voice is not good. So I'll let Steve Green sing it for us. Let's just watch it. Good.
He who began a good work in you, he who began a good work in you, this trouble you're facing, this lonely replace in your home with this despair. Or the process is long and you're losing your song in the night. You can be sure that the Lord has his hand on you, safe and secure. He will never abandon you. You are his treasure, and he finds his pleasure in you. He who began a good work in you
song, yeah? The message of the song is the one that really gets us, Philippians 1:6. So try to memorize that song, or that verse, specifically not the song. the verse is very, very, very compelling. That's why that song says that if we struggle in life right now, don't lose hope, don't despair. Because you can be sure that God is his hand on you. Safe and secure. Amen? Amen. That's a beautiful, beautiful verse. So, we go ahead. I'd like to really share to you what God's way is all about. But doing this, walk with it right now, in this world that we're in, we have to really counters a lot of things in life that somebody's got to suffer, right? Somebody's got to go to trials. And somebody's got to fear this fearful thing, the inevitable fearful thing that anything happens. But I'd like to ask you this. Can this be a measure of your commitment, of your relation to Jesus Christ? I hope not. Are you willing to really go to this suffering, the trials, the fears in life, in order for God to accomplish His purpose in your life? That is a big question. God has always has purpose in everything. Like, oh, God doesn't make sense, anything happens. Why does God allow this? But, hey, in everything there is a turnaround. God has a purpose in everything. Amen?
Amen.
Let me go, because, again, the suffering, these trials, and these fears is happening because, you know what? We are in a fallen world. It's sad to say that. And the fears around us are cursed to the world. I'd like to give you six basic earthly fears that we humans experience daily. Can you please put in there? These are the basic earthly fears. So sad to see that. I don't like to see that. It's all sad, yeah? But let me break it down into each six fears.
most people are fortunate, lucky, and blessed if they do not suffer one of these fears, right? That's blessed. I hope that's our, that's what we want. We want nothing of this possible. But again, let's go to the first fear. The fear of poverty. No one wants to be poor, right? Every one of us is cheered to be able to get something out of, you know, goodness in this earth, riches. But riches and poverty are two different worlds. They go in a separate direction. And when you want to be rich, yeah, of course, it starts with going to school, college, blah, 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 and you aim. And it starts with thoughts, feelings, and then the desire to want to be rich, right? I want to be rich, I have to work hard for this. But again, this world of, you know, we have right now, the poverty is really, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, remember March 1, Obama, our president, had a sequestration. I got this, I just want to read a little bit what's happening right now. In quote, it says there, emerging from an Oval Office with the lawmakers, the president called the cuts just dumb. He said they would slow the economy recovery and spoke emotionally about their impact on the people who would feel the consequences of government layoffs and disruptions in public services. That's scary. He said, I don't anticipate a huge financial crisis, but people are going to be hurt. Is that a good news? People are going to get hurt. Loss of job. Scary. Poverty. I mean, we lose our job. We're not able to drive our cars or buy or do the things we normally do as blessed as we are right now. We're all blessed here. We have work to, you know, we go back home, work, eat the food we want. It's really scary. That's the fear of poverty. The next one is the fear of criticism. Oh, when someone censures you, it's not good, yeah? You get depressed, you get despondent. It may be from father to son, criticizing son, father, daughter, vice versa, everything, friends, family. It's really no good to criticize. That's one fear that we have to consider. So please don't do that. We'll have to get away from criticism, you know. And as much as possible, edification is the name of the game when you are a believer in Christ. You have to encourage each other. Amen? The third one is the fear of ill health. Oh, this is feared because of the suffering it causes. That's also a form of uncertainty that what may happen when you're sick and then you die, that comes. That's the saddest part. The fear of economic toil, the one that, you know, the breadwinner will go ahead and so on, so something like that. That's the fear. It's really not good. So, again, well, I might talk about that someday, about health issue message someday, somehow, yeah, Pastor Ben?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's leave that behind. I know each one of us is really doing our best. Believe me, I know from all of us here, we're doing our best to get healthy, and we should do that for us. The fourth one is a fear of loss of love. This is the most painful of the six. I can imagine, you know, someone dear to me, I don't want to mention, but they are my two beautiful ladies, or you guys, or anybody close to you. That's the most painful thing to hear that, you know. We just lost one church member here, Cora, a couple months ago, and it's sad to miss him. Oh, he's sitting there at work as a chair right now. she used to sit there. But anyways, when that comes, that's sad. So the next one would be the fear of old age. Oh, this is most common. Every one of us get older. Every day, we get older by the day. Amen? 20 days from now, I'm going to be retiring. 62. Can you believe I'm 62? I feel like 42, not 62. Come on. Amen. Yeah, I'm still up, alive and kicking. Yeah. I still breathe every morning. God's giving me the good, the, you know, that blessing that, you know, all of us is still up and alive. So old age, the sad thing is, talking about old age, me and my wife and me have been doing this for years. Our mother-in-law has been doing it for years. Lily and us, where it's sad. It's hard to explain. Seeing them demented and all the kind of stuff, taking care of them, they're not being, visited sometimes only once a week. Oh, so sad to get home. Please, guys, don't get old. Okay, let's move on. The last one here is the fear of death. This is the cruelest of all the fears that we have. But death may come no matter what you think about it. It's going to happen. Amen? It's going to happen. We just have to accept it as a necessity. Because when you're old, you cannot stop it. You're going to go, you're going to walk to heaven somehow. Let's accept it as a necessity and then pass the thought out of your mind. Forget nada. Forget that. Move on. Enjoy life every day. Read the word. Enjoy with family, your spouse, your friends. We go back to the Ilikai, feasting right after church. We can do that, brother. We miss that, brother. I love you, bro. We miss that one there. We were kayaking. Anyway, okay, that is the fears. Six of them. Throw away. Turn it off.
Turn it off.
let's see what the Bible says about fear. And the wisest person in the Bible, do you know who it is?
Omar.
No, Solomon.
Oh, yes.
He's the wisest.
Solomon.
Yeah, Solomon.
Yeah.
Wrote 3,000 Proverbs. He wrote 1,005 songs. Let's see what he... can you please put in the Proverbs thing? There you go. Look at that. Solomon says, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Powerful, yeah? And even the on the second day, you have the Ecclesiastes, the last one?
Yeah.
If you have the Bible, you can open up Ecclesiastes 12. Oh, there you go, 13, 14. This is the last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. And the whole book of Ecclesiastes is experiences of Solomon. How on vanity of all the earthly things. He has everything, but it's just, nothing new under the sun, And the last verse, this is what he put in. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every word into judgment, including everything, whether good or evil. That's the judgment that will go us to point number two. Yeah, if we fear God, we are secure, because God will give us the wisdom how to live a life. Amen?
Amen.
So, bullet number two is set your sights on heaven. It's still blank here. So that's our final destination, where we go. And as a believer, we believe that we go to heaven. Because in heaven, it's a place where God prepared a mansion for us. No more rent. Again, we always do that. No more kids, no more pain, no more sickness, purely joy, peace, and love up there. Amen? Amen? That should be our final destination. And the holy place there is where God is residing. We'll be face to face with Him. Let's read Hebrews 10:10. Okay. It says here, for God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. And also let's read Leviticus 27:8. So set yourselves apart to be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Keep all my decrees by putting them into practice, for I am the Lord who makes you holy. So by keeping all the decrees of God, putting it into practice, that's what we always say, not just hearers, but doers the word. Yeah. So again, Jesus is the only way to go to heaven. So put yourself in that situation. And then practice what you really please. Don't give up. Sometimes you fall down. Because in Proverbs 24:17, it says that a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he's able to rise up. We're not perfect. We aim for the best. We aim for the, you know, we have to balance our life though. Yeah. Sometimes my wife goes, oh, you get too much of this and that. So even this is a pressure for me doing this. Oh, my goodness. I can like answer something. I gotta do this. I gotta do this. It's hard, Pastor Ben, to prepare a message, yeah? No, but with the Holy Spirit, it's easy. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, and then on 2 Corinthians, this is a New Living Translation, 3:18, it says, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we change into His glorious image. This is going to happen if you focus on Him more and more. Our journey will be probably shorter. It's easier. And it would be second nature, you know, reading the Word daily. You are in focus and everything. It's no longer that, like, I don't have to do it, but it's a passion, it's a desire, it's a commitment to be with God daily. Amen? Okay, that leaves us to the third nugget, to the third point here that I'm going to share with you. Learn how to refuel or recharge or energize like the Duracell. Energize. Let's read Psalm 23:3, New Living Translation. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. Wow. This is what the daily devotion should be, a must in our life. Prayer is a must. Spend time here. At least half hour a day, you can do that. Yeah. You have, well, how many days work? We have 8 hours a day, and then we sleep. How many? 5, 6, 8. And half hour, that's nothing. Amen? It's nothing, spending time with Him. You can do more. I know one of my brother here, Millie. Oh, I don't know how many hours he put in reading the Bible. He beat me. You beat me, bro, sometimes. But I had, only God knows. Each one of us, believe me, each one of us, only God. It doesn't really matter whether you read so much or you did a little. It is your supernatural relationship with Him that you can always go to Him all the time. Short, 1 minute prayer, 2 minute prayer, it's good enough. As long as you get connected with Him all the time. Things are best when you're connected with Him, right?
Right.
Praise God. So where are we? Next. Oh, let me just read a few more scripture here, the last one. 2 Peter 1:3-8. This is the New Life version. I've been juggling all the versions here, so I use New King James as a reading Bible daily, but it's not bad to use NIV, Amplified, Message, even using the kind. This is the book. Okay, let me read this. Christians are to grow. 3-8. So He gives us everything we need for life and for holy living. He gives it through the great power. As we come to know Him better, we learn that He called us to share His own shining greatness and perfect life. Through His shining greatness and perfect life, He has given us promises. These promises are of great worth, and no amount of money can buy them. Through these promises, you can have God's own life in you, now that you have gotten away from the sinful things of the world, which came from the wrong desires of the flesh. Do your best to add holy living to your faith, then add to this a better understanding. As you have a better understanding, be able to say no when you need to. Do not give up, Christian brothers, and love it. If you have all these things, and as you wait and do not give up, live like God-like, and you live God-like, be kind to Christian brothers and love. If you have all these things and keep growing in them, they will keep you from being of no use and from having no fruit when it comes to knowing our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why it's really very important that by not just spending time with, of course, the Lord, your family comes next. Our spouse, my wife, I'm really working hard. Please, my wife, as much as I can. And again, I just mentioned after church, we can go back to the Ilikai thing, brother, again. We have to get connected with not just believers, but non-believers. That's why that's the role of for us to evangelize and share the word to other people out there. Amen? Yeah. And we can go do our sports team, we can do our movie thing, but it's hard to find movies right now. There's no decent movie to watch. We're just waiting, whoa, this is going to be another gospel movie, and all of us go together. That's good, yeah? We have to joke a lot. Oh, maybe I'll give you a joke.
All right.
It's about time to give you one joke. How many jokes you want? One or two? Okay.
Two.
Okay. I'll give you two then. Okay, the first joke is like this. The open door Christian people men always go to Starbucks. And there's these four ladies. Three Catholic ladies and one Protestant lady. Friends, they're friends. Three ladies, yeah? Or four all in all. So they always hang out at Starbucks. And I think I see also them one time in Kali. So the first, the four ladies were having coffee at Starbucks. The first one tells her friends, "You know, my son is a priest." She said, "When he walks into a room, everyone calls him father. You know, priest, yeah, father." Okay, the second Catholic woman chirps, "Ah, my son is a bishop. Whenever he walks into a room, people say, Your Grace." Okay, the third Catholic woman smugly say, "Oh, my son is a cardinal. Oh, bigger, huh? It's getting bigger and bigger." And when he walks into the room, people say, "Your Eminence." Oh, my goodness, you got Father, Your Grace, Your Eminence. And then they were looking at the Christian woman. They're all Christians, the Protestant lady. He sips his coffee in silence. And the friend, "What can you say?" "Well, and she replies, "My son is a gorgeous 6 foot. Yeah. Hard-bodied pastor." "Are you 6 foot, brother?" "And looks like John, you know, Dwayne Johnson, the guy, yeah, the Rock." "So I can call him Pastor Rock, maybe, yeah?"
"Yeah."
And when he walks into the room, you know what people say? "Oh my God." Good one, brother. "Oh my God.
Hello."
We should call it. Pastor Ben, oh my God.
No.
Yeah. Okay. This Pastor Rock, you know, the second joke, brother.
All right.
This Pastor Rock has his own nice church town. And it was about time for him to evangelize. And so Pastor Rock is doing his rounds, visiting the homes close to his church, yeah? At one house, it was evident that someone was within, but no one answered. His repeated knocks. "Tuk, tuk, 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 knock." "Oh, yeah, what is it? I know I can hear someone inside the house." So finally, eventually he wrote on the back of his calling card, "Can you please put Revelation 3:20? Oh, no, later on. Okay, he put Revelation 3:20 and stuck it in the door. So the following Sunday, he was surprised to see his card in the offering plate. Below his writing was scrolled Genesis 3:20. So he was so curious, "What is this? My card came back in the plate and he this whatever, whoever he is, he put Genesis 3:20. So he reached for the Bible and thereafter broke into gales of laughter. You know what? Okay, put down the please. This is what happened. The old guy stand at the door, knock, and then the guy, the person who answered, he came back, he wrote this.
Because he answered, I heard in the garden, I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Isn't that a joke? At least my joke in the Bible, brother.
Good joke, brother.
Okay, okay, let's go ahead. Let's wrap it up. We're ending. Okay. Next time, we're going to have more. Okay, the fourth point that we have here is you have to pause along the way to the blunder to celebrate the progress. As we go and move in our life, the journey is long. It's never going to stop. Every day, we keep on really just doing our devotions, walking the walk. We stumble again, as I told you. Regiments fall down. But the good thing is God is with us all the time. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, verse, Psalm 40, verse 5, chapter 40, verse 5. This is the New Living Translation. It says here that, O Lord my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. You have no equal. If I tried to recite all of your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end. In life, we should never look back how far we're going. We have to look back how far we have come. I'll say that again. We shouldn't look back how far we're going, but look back how far we have come. This is a blessing. I can't even imagine myself, you guys, having this honor, privilege to share the goodness. It's really a blessing. That's all I can say. And how do you really know that God is working in your life? How? You know, the next verse will tell us that one. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. We know that God is working in our lives when the Holy Spirit controls our lives. Amen?
Amen.
We will produce all the kind of, will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the ultimate. And with God, your spirit is with God all the time to really want to, you know, grow more and more like Him. Amen?
Amen.
Chances are you'll be kinder and soft to answer when situations come to you. And you have the Spirit in us. Bottom line question and verse is, where are you in this life journey, my brothers and sisters? We have to go hand in hand, get together, continue to do what we're doing right now. Going to church, Bible study, you know, our ministry in the park, everything, wherever you can go. Like my brother, we're going to the Bible school, seminars. Just be Ohana, open the Ohana, and the rest of the world out. Those who did this, get together and everything. Going back again to the verse that we are a new creation, we are a born again Christian. Can I put down again that 2 Corinthians 5:17, that this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has begun. Amen?
Yeah.
And on Ezekiel 36:26, the New King James Version, it says here that, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take a heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. God will take that stony heart of sin that we have and give us a new obedient heart. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You gotta understand, we are all of us here, we're all recovering sinners. Mm-hmm. Aiming, goal setting, and heading towards change. And that change is found only if you do it God's way. Not the world's way, not your way, not my way, God's way. Fear God, my brothers and sisters. Fear God. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise God. You know, the Word of God has been spoken. The question is, what are you going to do now? Are we going to take the Word of God and apply it to our lives and watch what God will do. As you say, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. And you know, it's kind of funny in the sense that, you know, yesterday Elder Julio preached at the park. And, you know, he kind of talked a little bit about death. And I'm sure you didn't talk to Julio about any of this, right? And so happens that, so are you talking about that, hey, part of life, human life, is death. That one day death will come, you know, for all of us. But, you know, the very fact that both of you are talking about this, you know, and I was just thinking about this too, realizing, yeah, you know what? We have to face, you know, death someday, but we got to remember we're going to have eternal life. Our spirit lives on forever. There is no end to our life when our spirit will reside in heaven with our Lord God and King. And that's something to be excited about because, you know, that's eternal hope. That's the kind of hope the world does not know. The world does not embrace this truth. And here's the thing I want to share with you. You know, when I was contemplating this, I was just going to the Lord about this. And you know, in Matthew 13, where it talks about the sower and the different seeds, you know, one fell along the path and fell, you know, among thorns, and the other one fell good soil and all that. And I kind of thought about this because, you know, when we go ahead and talk to our loved ones about the truth, about the gospel of Christ, we realize, hey, their salvation is at stake. Sometimes we want to say the right things. We ask the Holy Spirit, oh, give me the words, because we want our loved ones to be saved. We want them to come to know Jesus Christ because this is the only way to salvation. There is no other way. And the reality is, yes, we will live on forever with Christ. We know that. That's the truth. But if you don't know Christ, the Bible tells us this person will be eternally separated from God forever. And I thought about that because, you know, a lot of times when I'm praying for someone, man, I know what the scripture tells me. It's like when the seed is planted, when we speak the word of God, that seed goes into that person's heart. And it can grow, can it? When they continue to hear the word. But the devil, what does he do? He tries to come and snatch the truth from that person's heart so that the truth will not grow. And I kind of thought about that and go, yeah, I got to pray more for that person that I'm witnessing to. But then the Holy Spirit showed it to me that there are times, even as believers, you know what? The devil will try to snatch that truth from our heart. And that's why you have people that backslide, people who have walked away from God. And the reality of that is, God is just waiting for that person to come back. And we are to pray for that person because we know, we don't know when our last breath here is on this planet Earth. Just to think, don't you want our loved one to live on forever and ever and ever in constant peace, in constant joy, in constant love, with no end? Because if it's not this case, it's going to be eternal separation from God. And how can that be something that we can just say, oh, no problem, I don't have to think about that? No, we want that person to come to know God as their Lord and Savior, because then we know that love will go on forever and ever and ever and ever. So what am I trying to say here is that we, as God's children, we are to, yes, pray for our loved ones, that for those who don't know the truth or have somehow let go of the truth, we're going to keep praying for them. Let's really have that fervent heart and attitude to say, I'm going to pray for this person, because they don't know God, man. There's a chance, right? We don't know when our last breath is. There's a chance that they may be eternally separated from God. So we are to pray fervently for them. At the same time, let's pray for our very own heart that the devil, he's going to stay away. And we got to get stronger and deeper into the word of God so the devil, he will not have a chance to come close to our hearts. And we're going to pray that the devil will keep his dirty hands off of our loved ones' hearts. And we pray fervently, church, that that devil, as we let the peace of God enter into our hearts, the Bible says, and the peace of God will soon crush Satan under our feet. And that's where they belong, amen? The devil and his demon spirits, they belong under our feet, where God will crush them. And we know we are to live victoriously unto God. Amen? Amen? God says, I will see to it that you will have peace, you will have joy, you will have love. And your loved ones, he's telling us, go, keep on telling them how much I love them. Don't stop. Don't stop, church. Tell them that God loves them and God is waiting for them to come back to him so that God can truly embrace them once again. And we are to walk in victory. Amen?
Amen.
We have no choice. Isn't that great?
Yep.
We walk in victory because God says, I want it for you. Let's go ahead and bow our hearts before God. Let's come before our Lord God and King. Thank you, Lord, for the message that was spoken through my brother, Elder Omar. I know, Lord, oh, I just see the passion in this man. And I know, Lord, he loves you so much because he's dedicated his life to live his life holy and pure unto you. I just pray right now, Lord God, as this message has really touched our hearts, I pray, Lord, if we have somehow strayed away, we are that lost sheep. I pray, Father God, that as your Holy Spirit touches our heart, because it's all you, as your Holy Spirit touches our heart, we're going to realize, oh, how much we need you and how much we can live that life of abundance if we truly do it your way. As the Holy Spirit comes, the Bible tells us, do not reject his voice. Do not reject him, because if you do, it says the Holy Spirit will also reject you. But if you receive him, he will receive you. He will come and show himself strong in your life. And if that's you, you're saying, Pastor Ben, I realize, oh, I need God. Oh, you hear his voice, don't reject. And if you are ready to say, Lord, I'm surrendering. Lord, help me. Help me to live my life fully devoted and dedicated to you. If this is you, can you simply raise your hand and say, Lord, I'm rededicating my life to you. Can you raise your hand? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I see your hands. Praise God. Anyone else? Say, Lord, I surrender. Hallelujah. Keep your hands up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Just keep your hands up. Just keep your hands up there. Just say, Lord, that's me. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen the hands that are raised up right now saying, Lord, I'm reaching towards the heavenly because I need a touch from you today, Father God. Lord God, will you just fill us up? Fill this entire room with your holy presence, Lord. As your holy warrior angels and your ministering angels are all around us right now, Lord. Oh, speak to us your peace, your joy, your salvation. If we're lacking any of the things, Lord, that you want so abundant in our lives, Father God, we ask you now to fill us up, overflowing of your goodness. For the word tells us, surely goodness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, fill us up, Lord. Fill us up, Lord. More of you, less of us, more of you in our lives, Lord God. Oh, fill us up, Lord. Fill us up, Lord, as we're reaching to you, Lord. Oh, just touch us right where we are, Lord God. Touch us, Lord. Let your presence fall upon your children, upon your people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. More, Lord. More, Lord, of you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You can put your hands down. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, Pastor Ben, I heard of people talking about having a relationship with God, with his son, Jesus Christ. How do I do that? How do I get started? Well, you know, you can start off by praying a simple prayer, but you know, it has to come from within. It comes from deep within your heart, saying, Lord, I'm serious about this. I need you so desperately. And if you're willing to say yes to him, you've never done this, but you're saying, I want to say yes now. I'm saying yes to you, Lord God. I'm saying yes to Jesus Christ. I want him to enter into my heart, into my life. You know, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Make a choice today so that God can start his beautiful work in your life. And if that's you, you're saying, I want to say yes to him. I want to give my life over to Jesus. Can you raise your hand and say, that's me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Say, yes, Lord, that's me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. All right. Anyone else? All right. Praise God. You can put your hands down. Why don't we go ahead and pray this prayer together? Remember, it has to come from deep within your heart because God is listening right now. Let's pray this prayer out loud. Let's pray together as a family. Say, Father God,
I need you.
I give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ,
who died for me on the cross.
But on the third day, he rose again. And he lives in my heart. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord, and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God, and so that I can hear myself. So that everyone can hear me, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him, and I live for a moment. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, Amen.